What a wonderful reminder on a glorious day that there is nothing better than our Lord and our Saviour. And today particularly is a day where I think we can sing, we can shout, we can praise. And it is a bit weird that we can't say, I love it on Easter Sunday, where you can just say Christ is risen and everybody responds, He is risen indeed. And I hope you did do that earlier. And if you haven't yet, if you're sitting at home and your curtains are pulled still, go and check out the day that it is today, because it is glorious. And it points to this wonderful reality of what it means that Jesus Christ has risen. It is true, He is risen. We're going to take a look at God's Word together for a little bit of time this morning. And I hope, no matter where you're from, whether you're just tuning in because it's Easter and you normally go to church on an Easter, if you're one of our regulars, if you've only just started joining us, that today you can be reminded of the wonderful peace and freedom that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we're going to do that by looking at Luke 24. Ange sort of started it, but we're going to jump down a little bit. So if you open your Bibles to Luke 24, we're going to begin at verse 33. Now, verse 33 starts with a, they got up, and it's referring to the two men who were walking on the road to Emmaus and had Jesus come and walk with them. And they all of a sudden start to realize once they get to Emmaus, this is Jesus, this is Him. And it's a beautiful, beautiful image of how they see their Saviour. And this is what happens once they realize that. So Luke 24, beginning at verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and blood, but flesh and bones, as you see I have." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to pray. We're going to take a look at a very small section of this piece of God's word. And I hope be reminded of the wonderful peace and freedom that comes through Jesus. So let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you so much that it is true that Jesus has risen. And that because He is risen, we know that the penalty for sin has been paid, the price has been paid in full, that He has come and that He has demonstrated that He has, that Jesus has power over sin, over death. There is no victory for those things. I pray, Lord, that as we listen to Jesus' words this morning where He says, "Peace be with you," that we hear them, that we know that they aren't just simply a greeting, but instead they are powerful words that can speak right to our very anxious hearts and minds and souls, that we know that we can be free from fear, free from judgment, free from sin, because it is true. Jesus is risen. We thank You and we praise You on this most glorious of days through His powerful name. Amen. They said, "It is true, the Lord has risen," which means, as I've said a few times now, peace and freedom from fear, it can be ours because Jesus is risen. That's the message I hope we hear this Easter. That's the message I think we need this Easter, isn't it? I mean, we need it every Easter, but I went shopping the other day and was reminded how much we need this message at Easter. I went to Woolies, just down in local Rivo, before the restrictions were put in place. You know how they've started to make restrictions where only a few people can go into the store? It was like the last Saturday before that had happened. Now, normally, Vic will go and do that shopping, and she did the week before because she wanted to get out. But she came back and said, I was afraid. I was terrified. I don't want to go back and do that. And so I usually, we've got a little newborn. I actually usually like to sort of get out of the house at that time when the newborn is screaming and things are a little bit hectic, and they are even more at this time. But then I went shopping and it was worse again. It was, to be honest, I was a little bit on edge. I was a little bit terrified. I had a bit of fear. And so I fell into those that mentality of fight or flight, you know. It felt like everybody was there out for themselves in that moment. And what has happened? Well, the world has gone a little bit crazy, a little bit mad. Things are not right. And we're noticing that, aren't we? I mean, we're feeling it, that sense of unease, of unrest, a lack of peace. Maybe fear. Maybe you are fearful at this time. And people are talking about the fact that we now need to adjust to the new normal. But let's be real, this isn't normal. This is far from normal. It's abnormal. And maybe it's a signal. Maybe it's a signal for us that generally things aren't normal in this world. They're not right. That they are actually abnormal. I ran into somebody yesterday who was going on their first walk for like 3 days. And he was saying, well, they've been saying that it's just like this now forever, that this is how we're going to have to live to make sure that people can live. And he said, even if it does dive down and everything flattens and goes away, there is always something that happens that reminds us of this. There is always something. But from the day Jesus came to his disciples and said, peace be with you, peace and freedom from fear can be ours. Even amongst, with all this stuff, peace, shalom, everything is made right. In fact, that is exactly what Jesus is trying to say. And these words are so true today, just as true as they are today to when he uttered them that first time after coming out of the grave. And I reckon today, we might need to hear them all the more deeply. Whether you trust him or not, whether you are feeling secure in him or not, whether you're doubting or not, you need to hear these words, peace be with you. I need to hear them. As I open those curtains and see a glorious day, it points to something much, much greater, much, much more wonderful. And it's that Jesus has said, peace be with you. And this is not just a simple greeting. Today, I hope all of us can acknowledge, because I think you're lying to yourself if you don't, that we all want peace, that we all want to be free from fear. We want that, don't we? But very few of us, me included, except for the fact of who Jesus is, ever really feel it. And when we do feel it, it is so fleeting, isn't it? It's just this moment. This all points to something. This desire, this longing, this points to something where Jesus' words, peace be with you, can speak an everlasting promise that goes beyond any of those feelings that you might have. Peace and freedom from fear are available because of this first day of the week, because Sunday has come. But it's important that we understand where we've come from when we come to these words that we look at, peace be with you. Because just a few days earlier, well, what's the context? What was happening? It was Good Friday. Well, what we call Good Friday, but for the disciples, it didn't seem all that good. Their Savior, their salvation, had just died upon a cross. And so do you know where the disciples are now? Well, in John 20, verse 19, it tells us, on the evening of that first day of the week, so just 3 days later, when the disciples were together, where are they? Together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. They're terrified. They're afraid. They are not championing the cause of Jesus at this stage, no. But what happens now is that a couple of their friends are on a trip from Jerusalem, dragging their feet back to Emmaus because this has happened and they're devastated at this fact. They're dragging their feet that way, but then they run into Jesus and decide, well, we're going to run back to Jerusalem because it is true. He has risen. And that's what they say. Have a look, verse 34. It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. They run back. It's true. And imagine that. I mean, just try for a second to put yourself in the dusty sandals of those two men, dragging their feet back after their Savior, the one that they thought was going to be the king, has been crucified, but to go, no, he's not dead no more. Just imagine that true peace was available to all of us. Just imagine. not John Lennon imagine, really think about it. No need to fear. Like, to try and capture this, it's true. The vaccine is here and all of us can take it like that, as easy as logging on. What we'd hope for, what we'd long for, and now freedom, we can all have that. We don't have to fear this COVID-19 thing anymore. And still, that doesn't come close to really capturing it, does it? Because there's always something else. Not anymore because of what Jesus has done. He has paid. He has paid the price for peace, and he offers peace to you. That means that there is freedom from fear available to those who trust in Jesus. And so let's start by looking at the fact that he has paid the price and that therefore offers us peace. These two men have come running back. It is true. He is risen. They're there with the 11 and those other people that were with them, the women and those around them, and they are about to hear again the most wonderful, well, for the first time, the most wonderful words you could ever imagine. Verse 36, because while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself, not somebody else, Jesus somehow gets through, if you look at John's gospel, through the locked doors, and he's presented there with them. And he stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. This is no ordinary greeting on this day, but it was the typical Jewish greeting, shalom aleichum. They would say, peace be with you, peace be upon you, peace to you, my brother, my sister. But also this word shalom, peace, in a Jewish context and then carried through into our New Testament, is about wholeness. It's about rightness. It's about a person being uninjured, safe, healed, and whole. Peace, everything put right. That's exactly what it's about. All-encompassing too. This is about your physical, psychological, social, and spiritual well-being, and it all flows together from something. From the reality that you actually have peace with God. Peace with God that flows to peace with yourself and then others because you have been made right. And so there is great significance in these words when we think about the fact that, well, the last words that Jesus said were what? It is finished. It is finished. It is done. Peace is offered. And we have to get this. We have to get this from Friday to Sunday. Because why is Jesus offering peace such a big deal? Why do we bang on about it? Well, peace is needed in our world, isn't it? It's needed between one another. It's needed between all the different nations. It's needed, most of all, though, with our God. But why him coming and saying, I'm alive, here I am, peace. Why is that so significant on this day? We'll have a look just very quickly. Verse 35 at the end there. Look back. It mentions that they were talking about how they recognized him when he broke the bread. Now, that might not necessarily mean that they shared the Lord's Supper together, but that helps us identify a link here. It sparks in our minds the Passover meal that he had with his disciples before he went to the cross. It sparks in our minds that he is the Passover lamb. It sparks in our minds it was only 3 days earlier that he was crucified. That Good Friday did happen. That the need for justice, if you were with us on Friday, the need for justice to make things right, it required blood. The price was blood. The price was the lifeblood of a person. The perfect lamb. In the Passover, but here the perfect price had to be paid by the perfect Son of God. Jesus, claiming to be God, came and paid the price. And now, if he'd paid the price and stayed dead, I mean, what good is that? Where's the proof? Where's the proof that he's paid the price? There would be doubt, wouldn't there? It'd be right for the disciples to doubt if he hadn't shown up. But if he is raised, there is no doubt, is there? Price paid. Jesus reigns. He rules. Now, I'm pretty terrible at keeping physical receipts. I often don't even bother printing them. I think that's because the generation I'm in, everything goes online, it seems, and you always get emailed your receipts. But I think at this time, from what I understand, there's a lot more online shopping going on because people are trapped inside, which means deliveries are coming to people's doors. And this happened to me one time with a coffee machine I once bought, where I'd ordered a coffee machine online, and I was told it had been delivered, but it weren't at my front door, I can tell you that much. Fortunately, I had my receipt and I could prove to them that I had proof that I had purchased this and I had to go and get it from this, one of my mates actually went and got it from this fella who had claimed it without a receipt. Fortunately, I had my receipt. It's a time, I think, in this time where things are coming to your doors where you need to know you've got your receipt. You need to know that you have paid for this thing. 1 Corinthians 15:17 to 19 says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." If we think that it's just this life that we have hope in Christ Jesus, do you see the tension there? If he died and stayed dead, and I'm not trying to be a downer at this point, but what a waste of time that is. But he didn't, because 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." It is true, as these disciples said, it is true, the Lord has risen. And so Romans 4:25 picks up on this. It says, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification," to prove, to say, it is done, it is finished, price paid. "And here is my receipt." Remember that on this day. "Here is my receipt, a bloody cross and an empty tomb. A risen Jesus who lives, who reigns, who breathes, who eats. Peace with God is offered and paid for, and it is yours. It can be ours through faith in Christ Jesus." As Robin said just before, as we repent, we know that we can be forgiven. And you might think this is all, well, this is a bit much. Easter Sunday, let's chill. Let's just have some hot crossies and some, some Easter eggs. Donuts too. If you want to have donuts, go for that as well. Go for gold. God, this justice stuff. But I doubt too many of you missed it this week. I can say one name and different emotions will be stimulated. And this is risky probably. I doubt many of you missed what happened in the Pell case this week. And I know, yeah, it probably is risky for me to even mention it. And I'm not making a comment about whether he's innocent or whether he's guilty. I'm not making a comment about the case itself. But instead, it points to something that consistently we see with our legal system, doesn't it? It fails. It can never be complete. We can never really fully understand how justice can be met within our flawed system. It's either failing on behalf of the victims or it's failing on behalf of the accused. Sometimes it sort of works its way out, but even then, is justice really met? Our justice system will fail all the time, even at the best of times. Then there's the worst of times, isn't there, where the innocent are condemned and the guilty go free, and we feel it. We yearn for justice. We desire for justice. Everybody wants it, don't they? To be made right, for things to be made right. At the moment, it's pretty popular to be calling people out for their wrongs, that they should be punished, particularly based on what it is that you think all the time. Make it right, make it right. So if there is a God, and I know there is, how much more does he desire and yearn and long for justice? How much more can we be sure that he then achieves it? Because in Romans 3, it talks about, Romans 3:26, that Jesus' sacrifice was to ensure that God was both just and the justifier. Because he can't leave the sins of the world unpunished. No, he can't. But he must justify them through Jesus' blood. And then, as he raises to life, we know that it is a sure thing. Because the best our legal system, the best our justice system can do is what? Beyond reasonable doubt. Beyond reasonable doubt. So there's still room for doubt, isn't there? But if this is true, if Jesus is risen, and he is risen indeed, peace, there is no doubt about the peace that Jesus Christ offers to you. That those who are living out of step with God, and you know you are, you feel it. For those who are not right, that is all of us. For those not at peace, there is no doubt. No doubt, because price has been paid. And here is my receipt, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the words, please, today. Peace be with you. Because they are much, much, much more than a common greeting, aren't they? They talk about shalom, real peace. And real peace is only something Jesus can offer. We're seeing that, aren't we? I hope. Like the night before Jesus died, and this people find really kind of crazy because he goes on to die. But the night before he died, this is what he says to his disciples. I'll read it for you in John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Peace he offers. And a peace that is different to what the world can offer. It's his peace. Now there isn't much peace for us, my family, the Hookham family right now at home. There is six of us. most of them screaming, not most of the time, but it's pretty intense. Maybe it's more peaceful in your house, a little bit quieter. I don't know. Maybe that's too much for you, in fact. Because this time, it's kind of giving us room maybe to feel the unease. Many of us have had to stop and think for a bit more than we normally do. And our feelings of the lack of peace that we have, the lack of peace of mind, the peace and comfort in our health, my finances, my future, peace with one another. I mean, what's going to happen when all of this, we seem to be rallying a little bit together, but what happens when it's all done? There's only so much our world can offer, isn't there, in terms of peace. And this all, I think, points to the fact that things aren't right. A pandemic hits, and it can be a bit like a megaphone, a bit like maybe like a wake-up call for all of us, that lack of peace can actually lead to fear. You see, Jesus promised his disciples, what did he say? He said, well, he promised them that his peace would be with them, and they should not fear. And yet, where did we see they were? Where were they in John 20? After he died, remember where they were? On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. They were terrified. And it makes sense, because things didn't in their mind seem to be right, and they weren't right. I don't know what your response to fear is. They talk about it, don't they? The common response to fear is fight or flight. And I don't know what it is that you're afraid of. I mentioned that I'm still a little bit nervous. We haven't actually done a full shop again because we're a little bit nervous to go out into that world. I thought a bit about what people might fear. And so I asked my family. I have a 2-year-old, a 5.5-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a wife whose age will not be disclosed. But that I asked each one of them. She's young. It's okay. I asked each one of them what it is that they might fear. And so I asked Eve, the 2-year-old, and I think she said foxes, but she doesn't know what foxes are, and she's still learning how to say words, so I'm not really sure what she said, but I know that she's afraid of being left behind, because if I go out the door and she wants to come with me, she freaks out. Micah and Tilly, my 5.5 and 8-year-old, I asked them, and they both said nothing to begin with, but I think that's just because they've been watching a lot of Lion King, and they were channeling Simba, who's like, I laugh in the face of danger. But then when I asked them a little bit more, Tilly, who's 5.5, her big thing was that she doesn't want to be late to school. And then as she talked, it was very, very cute. She was like, spiders? No way. Ghosts? No. Wolves? No. Dragons? No. Being left behind at the shops? Oh, and really, really scary things like big wolves and bad dreams, because she's been having a few of those. Micah, his big thing was dad being upset with me, which hit me in a particular way. Will I be in trouble? He thought. What's going to happen to me if dad's upset with me? Loud noises, Ken, being left at the shops too. And he used to think that monsters could be under his bed, and so he was afraid of them, but he knows they're not there anymore, until he reassured him that they aren't, because she is in a bunk bed and there's none under hers, so there's probably none under his too. But what about you? Maybe you're afraid the NBN will fail at this time. Afraid you'll run out of toilet paper like so many seem to be. Other essentials, the things you need. Afraid of discomfort. Afraid that things might have to get cancelled, important things, that you won't see people the same way. Maybe the loss of autonomy terrifies you, the loss of your independence or your freedom. Maybe you are afraid of being alone, of the uncertainty of your finances. Will there be a recession? Give me lost at the shops over a recession. I asked Vic, my wife, and she said, being alone. You leaving me in particular, or dying, or one of the kids dying. Fear is real, isn't it? Fear when the little wolves come along, or when those really big wolves show up. Well, really, when mortality shows itself as a real thing, and man, has that been happening recently. We are face to face with the fact that none of us can escape the reality of our mortality. But behind all of that, there's actually something much, much greater, why death itself exists. See, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. So death is a byproduct of something far, far greater. Death is absolutely an unwelcome guest. It isn't right. It tears families apart. It destroys futures. It crushes us. But there is a greater fear that most of us don't acknowledge. Underneath this is our human fear, and that's what rises up in these moments of coming before our Creator God, of being judged, of not being right, because the very sting of death is sin. That's the issue. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, not being right with him, not being with him. And death is like that pandemic reminding us there is something not right. But Jesus said, peace be with you. And man, what it does to the disciples. You follow their story. You see them in a few moments. They're amazed. There is joy. There is excitement once they know this is it. When their minds are open to what it is that Jesus has actually done, price paid, peace is offered, we are free. Now, I'm not saying that means that you won't have those feelings of unease at times. I'm not saying, you know, trust in Jesus and you'll never feel your stomach tighten or churn. You know the feeling? Your heart rate go up. That choking feeling in your neck, anxiety, where it keeps you up at night, just doesn't just disappear. But if this is true, if Jesus offers peace and it's not as the world gives, man, this is so much greater. Philippians 4 tells us it's a peace which surpasses all understanding. We can plumb it forever, longing to know it more deeply. Because John 16 tells us, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. It is his peace. He has overcome. He has done this and he shares it with us. It is certain. It can and will, as you trust in it more, descend deeply into your heart so your heart does not need to be troubled. But today, the greatest of fears that sometimes we don't even acknowledge, that we have to sometimes have the other things scraped away to see, you can be confident. You are free beyond doubt, not just reasonable doubt, beyond doubt itself. This week, and I asked him whether I could share this. This week, one of our members at Ngawi, he had his mum's funeral. And so I gave him a call to just ask how he was feeling. And particularly, I mean, in this time where you can only have 10 people at the funeral, what a horrible situation to have to be in. And yet, when I called him, the encouragement I received was amazing. You know, I called him to ask how he was feeling, and he mentioned, and we knew that his mum had been battling with cancer for some time now, and it had, late last year, really turned bad. And so they'd prepared themselves for this. But all the same, death came to the door for this family. And I did. I asked him, how are you feeling about all of this? What's going on? His response was, it is sad that she died so young, because she was relatively young to die. It is sad that she died so young, but also, it's not that sad, because she's young and she got to go to be with Jesus. Isn't that incredible? It's a response that he shared with his mother, that his mother had this confidence that no matter what came, even death itself, that everything was actually right with her Heavenly Father, and that she would go to be at peace, free from fear, free from pain with him. And I asked him what I could pray for him at the end, and his response was fitting as well. Comfort, he said, or you could say peace. But not peace that's found in circumstances or just me getting over this stuff. Or no, found in God and his promises, because Jesus is risen. Death is still a horrible enemy. It isn't right, is it? But if this is true, if he has risen, and he comes and he says, peace be with you. We can say, like the Apostle Paul, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? All because the sting of death is actually sin. And Jesus has given us victory over that. He rose from the grave. It is signed, sealed, delivered. Here's my receipt. Nothing will be able to take that from you. If this is true, I mean, what sting does death have? And so please, if you have felt any sense of unease or lack of peace, or you are feeling fear, if this stuff is heightening that, please turn to Jesus and see the peace that he has available for you. If you need to know more about that, let us know. But brother and sister in Christ, remember that today, that it is in Jesus that we find peace and true freedom from fear. Because there has been a greater pandemic, a far, far, far greater pandemic than COVID-19 that's been around for a lot longer too. It is far more fatal, far more dangerous. It's far more contagious. In fact, you have it from the beginning. I don't know if you've noticed, but people have taken COVID-19 and this flu a little bit flippantly until it really hits them close. Until all of a sudden they can't ignore it anymore. It's the same with this greater pandemic. You see, the signs and symptoms are everywhere. They're in our lack of peace. They're in our feelings of fear. They're in the fact that evil is present, that death still happens. They point to the COVID-19 that is far, far greater of our sin, our rebellion, and our war against our God and his ways. And it has infected every single one of us. What do we do about this? I mean, COVID-19, we are hanging for a vaccine, aren't we? We're wanting to see something that can overcome all of this so we can go back to normal. Imagine there was a vaccine, a guaranteed cure for that greater pandemic, and the only side effect was peace and freedom. There is, because Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." And he says it to all of us. And so whether you trust him or not, please hear this. And I encourage you, implore you, in fact, turn to Jesus to accept true, everlasting peace and freedom. Because peace and freedom from fear, if it is true, here it is. And it is true. The Lord has risen. Let me pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus to overcome. Thank you that he cried, "It is finished," and that he returned and said, "Peace be with you." That he died, but then he rose again according to the scriptures, that gives us every confidence that we can have peace with God, that we can be free from the fear of judgment, that we can live this life with a confidence for the future. And I pray, Lord, that you might help me and those watching today to have a confidence like my friend, the member here that we have, and his mum, that no matter what comes, we know that there is freedom from fear, that death will not have the last word because the sting of death has been taken because Jesus Christ died and rose again. Thank you that he pays the price for peace, that he offers it to us, and that we can be free from fear. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.